This is Single and Not Sorry, written by Iris Beaumont, read for you by Mark Riley. Introduction: The Life You Already Have. There is a particular silence that follows the question. You know the one. Somebody at a wedding, or a work dinner, or your cousin's third baby shower, leans towards you with a tilted head, lowers their voice for the kindness of it, and asks whether you are seeing anyone. And before you can answer, the silence arrives. It is the silence of a room preparing to receive bad news. I have been on both sides of that silence. I have been the asker, in my 20s, when I believed that anyone alone in a room must be lonely, and that loneliness was the only real grief. And I have been the asked for most of the last 25 years, since I made my own peace with a question my family never quite stopped asking. The silence taught me a lot. It taught me that a single life is treated as a sentence rather than a sentence structure. It taught me that the people who love you most are often the ones who have been most thoroughly persuaded that you cannot possibly be all right. This book is for the people on the other side of that silence. It is for the never married and the divorced and the widowed and the long uncoupled. It is for the people who chose this, the people who arrive here without choosing, and the people who are still deciding which of those they are. It is not a book about how to find a partner. There are enough of those, and most of them are unkind in ways their authors did not intend. This is a book about how to stop apologizing for the life you already have. I am a sociologist by training. I have spent more than 2 decades reading what social scientists, demographers, and historians have said about the unpartnered adult, and most of what I have read has been wrong in interesting ways. The data is changing. In the wealthy countries, the proportion of adults living alone has roughly doubled in 2 generations. The age of first marriage has crept past 30 in most of the West. Divorce rates have been falling for younger cohorts, not because marriages are stronger, but because fewer people are getting married. Widowhood, for women in particular, often spans decades rather than years. None of this means that people are abandoning love. It means that the shape of a normal adult life no longer matches the shape that the 20th century taught us to expect. The social script is not caught up. We still live in a culture whose songs and films and tax codes assume that you will pair off in your 20s, raise children in your 30s, and grow old beside the partner you chose. Most of us will spend large portions of our adult lives outside that pattern. Some of us will spend all of it outside. That is not a tragedy. It is a demographic fact and a reason to build a different vocabulary. I want to be careful about what I am not saying. I am not saying that partnership is a trick, or that romantic love is overrated, or that everyone secretly wants to be single. People who love their marriages should love them in peace. People who long for a partner should long openly without shame and should look honestly. What I am saying is that there is a third position which the culture rarely names, the position of a person whose life is full without a partner in it, and who would like to stop being treated as a half. That third position is the subject of this book. You may have come here in any number of moods. You may be tired of being pitied at family gatherings. You may have just ended something and are wondering what comes next. You may be 20 years into a single life that you mostly love but occasionally doubt. You may be reading this because someone in your life is single and you would like to understand them better. Whatever the mood, I want to make you a small promise. I will not try to convince you of anything you do not already know about your own life. I will simply try to give you the language and the frames to defend it. The book is structured loosely as a tour of the places where the single life rubs against the partnered template. We will start with the social scripts themselves, because the script is the thing that makes us feel wrong before we have done anything wrong. We will move through family pressure, holidays, weddings, and the small social occasions where the question gets asked. Then we will turn to the relationships that single people often build with more deliberateness than the partnered, deep friendships, chosen family, networks of mutual care. From there, we will look at the practical machinery of an unpartnered life: money, housing, health, emergency contacts, aging. We will spend a chapter on dating without making it the organizing principle of your life, and a chapter on what it looks like when partnership does arrive late. We will end with the longer questions about legacy and time, and what a life can be measured by when it is not measured in spouses and children. A few notes on what you will find here. I have used composite scenarios throughout. The